the anchor holds, though the ship is battered.
On behalf of Pastor Randy Barton and the church family at Anchor Baptist, we welcome you to our weekly broadcast. In just a moment, we'll share with you a message by Pastor Barton, but first, we would like to invite you to join us in person. You'll find Anchor Baptist Church at 3232 Hendersonville Highway in Pisgah Forest. Also, our services are streamed live on Facebook at Anchor Baptist Church. Our prayer is that today's message will be a help to you.
I've been a part of Anchor any length of time. You had already predicted where I would be turning this morning, and there's good reason for that. Not trying to be a traditionalist, but I don't know of a greater message, and I don't know of a greater tone to set. If we're going to do more in 2024, what we need to do is we need to focus on souls. We need to focus on the eternal destiny of mankind, both home and abroad. I'll tell you just a little bit of background. As I stand this morning, this is the 40th time that I've preached this message on the first Sunday in January in this pulpit. This is the 40th time. So we are in now the 40th year. We'll conclude our 40th year in July. 40 years I've been preaching the same thing. And I keep records. I can tell you the date every time. I can tell you exactly when I preached it, where I preached it. I can tell you exactly when it was. All the way down through. And this is the 40th time and that we've preached from this passage. But I want to say again, it doesn't matter what we're doing. Whether it is the warehouse, whether the food distribution, whether it is the Christmas play, whether it's the radio, it doesn't really matter what it is. The number one issue is someone's eternal destiny. That is the most important thing that we will deal with, bar none. I can tell you a little bit about 40 years ago this morning. And I can tell you this, 40 years ago, it was on the 6th of January, 1985. But let me tell you a little bit about that. We were in a little building where the Blantons live now. It was not as big as one section from the poles here. It wasn't, and that's with the annex. It wasn't as big as this one section. There's probably more platform than the whole church was. That's how small it was. Maybe if you take it to the walls, it must be square footage. But it wasn't as big as from here to here. And there had been a major uproar. I had just been brought in as pastor, and most of the folks had left. We had 7 adults, and we would take up the offering. We took up an offering Sunday morning. We took up an offering in Sunday school. We took up another offering in the morning service. We would take up another offering on Sunday night, and we'd take up another offering on Wednesday night. And I'd tell the ushers, walk slow and look pitiful. And the reason we took up all those offerings, because literally, whatever come in on Sunday, I'd carry it to the bank and pay bills on Monday. Because that's how bad off we were. I mean, we didn't have 2 dimes to rub together. And I'm not exaggerating. They were tough times. There were weeks that I didn't get paid. Never went hungry, but we eat a lot of pinto beans and peanut butter and jelly, but there were times we didn't have jelly. We ate peanut butter. And those were hard times. I don't know why it was so tough that during those days. It was a very cold winter. I remember that. And our car quit. Wheel run off of it. We drove a Subaru till the front wheel rolled off and went down the whole hub, come off and went out and knocked the underpinning out from under a trailer. And I had to have it towed. So I don't have anything to drive, so somebody loaned me a 59 Ford 3/4 ton pickup truck or a flatbed truck. It had one headlight. It had no heat in it. And it had rusty floorboard. And when I drive it when it rained, it would splash up on you. And so I'd break cardboard and put in the floorboard of that thing, and that's all I had to lead funerals with. I was embarrassed by it. And that's the truth. I was embarrassed by it. I'd borrow a car from somebody if I had to lead a funeral, but that's what we had. That's all we had. I had holes in my shoes, and congregation bought me shoes because we get down to pray that they were embarrassed. I had holes in the bottom of my shoes. My glasses, I couldn't see, and so the congregation bought my glasses. And I'm not telling you that as a sad story about me. It's not about that. But it's about where God's brought us from. God brought us from a little half acre, $40,000 in debt, part of the money, we don't even know what happened to it, 7 adults. And if it hadn't been for the school, we'd have closed. Had the school not paid the bills, the school was paying, and we started the school that summer, previous summer. Had not been for the school, we wouldn't have made it. I mean, we just simply could not physically have made it. And so we went from that to buying 135 acres in the Amazon this week. Setting a $200,000 cabin on the mountain with a $1 million view. I just want to say, God has been faithful. Somebody told me the other day, said, "Preacher, you need to write a book." And I said, they'd put it in the fiction section. They ain't nobody to believe our story. They ain't nobody in this world will believe our story. Because I don't believe it. I look back and I say, I must have been dreaming. It couldn't have been that good. But it has been. God has done it. And I bless his name. And I heard a man say one time, he said, if you'll keep the main thing, the main thing. He said, that's the problem. We get so drug off in other directions. The main objective is to keep the main thing, the main thing. Well, what is the main thing? The gospel's the main thing. The birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's it. That's all Paul talked about. Throughout all the New Testament, that's he never got over the cross of Christ. He never did. That's all he ever wanted to talk about was God's atonement for our sin. And my friend, that has to be our number one goal and our number one focus. I'm grateful for benevolence. I'm grateful for the other things we're able to do. I've got stories I can tell you. I'm thankful. God has blessed so much. But if we get, listen to me, if we lose sight of the main thing, there go the blessings. God will take his hand off of it. So let me speak to the next generation. Listen to me. If you get your eyes off of souls and the eternal destiny of mankind, if you get your eyes off of that, this place will be no better than anywhere else. I'm just telling you now, okay? Don't do it at any cost. Everything rides on whether or not we're preaching the gospel. Amen. And getting the gospel out. Look what the Bible says. Stand, if you will, with me in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 3. I'll abbreviate my reading. I'm looking at Ezekiel 3, verse 17. It's interesting because it's Ezekiel 3:16. 3:16 carries several weighted verses throughout the Bible, of course, as it does in John 3:16. And it talks about the time, 7 days, word of the Lord came unto him saying in Ezekiel 3:16, verse 17, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. This morning I'd like to preach on the thought, the works of a worthy watchman. Let's pray. Father, help us now to be found faithful. May your word abide in us in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. This passage has a parallel passage. God says the same thing, not only in chapter 3, but again in chapter 33. And we'll actually use some of those verses here in just a moment. But I would like to focus, to start with this morning, about the person, about the man who makes a worthy watchman. You say, well, I'm not called to preach. Doesn't matter. Well, I'm not a man. Doesn't matter. I'm not grown up. Doesn't matter. Okay? Doesn't matter. I don't have the same, I don't have an education. Doesn't matter. I'm not eloquent of speech. Doesn't matter. Those are not the things God's looking for. The Bible says, verse 16, verse 17, Son of man, I have made thee. You gonna argue with that? If God makes you something, you can do it. None of us are worthy. There's nobody that's worthy. There's nobody that can do what God's called us to do in and of ourselves. But what he says is that we are appointed by the Lord. I have made thee. We are appointed. And if we are appointed by the Lord, then we are to give them warning, the Bible says, from me. Can I say it this way? If you don't know, you're not responsible. But if you know, now you are responsible. You didn't realize the day that you got born again. Suddenly the responsibility, now you understand it. Now you know how it happened. And you'd say, well, I can't even tell you the books of the Bible. It don't matter. You can tell somebody what the Lord did for you. And that's a story that nobody else can tell. And you can tell that story, and that's all it takes. You know what Paul told to the when he was before the Sanhedrin? What happened to him? You know what he told when he was before the Felix and the rulers? What happened to him? You know what he told to the Gentiles? What happened to him? You know what he told the Jews when he got them together? What happened to him? He tells it five times. He get five separate times, it's recorded in the New Testament, Paul tells his story over and over and over. And they said, well, we don't agree with it. He said, well, I can't know about that. I'm just going to tell you what I know. I'm just going to tell you what I saw. I'm just going to tell you what happened to me. And can I tell you? You know, when you start saying to you, when you start pointing your finger at somebody and say, you're a sinner and you're going to hell, that doesn't always create a great deal of affection. Or the desire to listen. But when you start saying, you know what? I was a sinner on my way to hell. And one day I realized that I was lost, and I realized that I was undone, and I realized that I was going to die and go to hell. I called on Christ, and he saved me. That's your story. That's what God has appointed you. You are appointed by the Lord. And every single person that receives salvation has been appointed to tell others about salvation. Not only appointed by the Lord, but acquainted with the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 3, look back up at the top of the chapter. He says in verse number 1, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. And I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as a honey for sweetness. In other words, he consumed the roll. He consumed the word of God. Can I say, not only must a man realize that he is appointed to be a worthy watchman, but a man must also not only be appointed by the Lord, but also be acquainted with the Lord. You say, well, how do I get acquainted with the Lord? You read after him. You know, I feel like that I know some people that I've never even, there's one author that I did meet him one time. I was disappointed. When he wrote like he was six foot six and weighed 275, that's the way he wrote. But in reality, he was about 5 foot six, probably weighed 175 pounds, soaking wet. He wasn't nothing to look at. But man, could he write. And I've read so much after him, I feel like I know him. I mean, I feel like I know that man because I've read after him and read after him and read him. I've gotten acquainted with him. He's in heaven, but I've gotten acquainted with him by reading after him. That's the way it is about Spurgeon. If you read after Spurgeon, before long you feel like you know Spurgeon because you read after him. Well, I want you to understand, if you want to know the Lord, you want to get acquainted with the Lord, read after him. Read your Bible. Read after him. Fill your bowels with the Word of God. Be acquainted with the Lord. And then I look in chapter number 3, look down to verse number 12. And the Bible says, then the Spirit took me up. For time's sake, look in verse 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Can I say, not only must we be appointed by the Lord and acquainted with the Lord, but can I tell you, if you ever get anointed by the Lord, it'll remove all doubt, it'll remove all that, if you ever get anointed of the Lord. It don't happen to everybody, but you know what I'm talking about. When God sets down on something, and when you get marching orders, and when God sets up an appointment and you got somebody's ultimate attention, and I don't want to sound you to think that this is, but I have been in situations that I knew just as sure as I thought I was going to bust. I got plumb reckless. I'll tell you this quick story. I was coming around. I was on West Main Street in Brevard reading meters, going in behind each house. I can show you the house. And I went around behind the house, and I come on around the other way. And standing on the front steps, there was some women. There was a child and two women. And they said, "Do you live here?" And I said, "No." They said, "Well, do you know who lives here?" And I said, "Yeah." Well, I had the name right there. And I said, "So-and-so and so-and-so." And they said, "Okay, we're from the Kingdom Hall." Well, now I've done give these people's name to the Jehovah Witnesses, the Russellites. And I thought, I'd get in trouble for that. So I come on out to the sidewalk, and I went down to the next side. And then I went to the next house, then I went to the next house. And the further I went, the worse it got. And I was parked up there behind K&M Auto in the lot up there. I had my truck parked up there. And it got on me so strong, it got on me so heavy, I ran back to the truck. When I finished reading the bank, I ran back to the truck. And I reckon I got so focused on witnessing to those people, I didn't even think about it. I come off that bank in that pickup truck, cross the sidewalk, out into England Street, turned on West Main Street, downtown Brevard, and took off out West Main Street looking for them. And I got right out past our Duke Power office, and there they were on the sidewalk, on the left-hand side of the street going west. I'm over here in the right lanes. They're going west in the left lanes. I guess I had a little lapse of judgment. I pull that pickup truck across the sidewalk in front of them, almost in a man's yard, jumped out with my New Testament, was laid on my dash, and I began to preach to them and witness to them, and they were horrified. And I began to explain to him that Christ was the third person of the Trinity, that he was God in flesh. And boy, they didn't want to hear no more of that. Well, the car, I reckon, some down the street, they saw what was going on. So the escape car pulled up in the middle of Main Street and stopped, and they ran to the car. Well, I chased them. And I've got my Bible over my head, and I'm preaching hell hot and heaven sweet, as hard as I can preach, and they jumped in the car still with terror on their face and spun out, heading west. And I'm standing here in the street with my Bible over my head. My truck is across the sidewalk, parked crossways of the sidewalk, and I'm preaching as they went out of sight. And they got out of sight, and I stopped preaching, and I looked, and every house there's somebody standing on the front porch. And I looked, and here's my truck crossways across the sidewalk, and I'm within a block of the office. And I thought, well, it was a good job while it lasted. I'll get my walking papers, because they probably could hear me back at the office. I said, well, I'm done. That's it, I'm done. Do you know that I never got a word? There was never a word said about that incident. Never. I don't know if they knew and afraid to say anything. I don't know. But there was never a word said about that. I broke all the rules. I violated everything you can violate. I mean, I broke every rule Duke Power had. But all I know is I was going to bust if I didn't witness to them people. I couldn't take it. I thought my heart going to beat out of my chest until I got that off me. Somebody said, they get saved? No. Did they ever get saved? Don't know. But it wasn't about them getting saved. It was about me telling them. And they may have never heard the truth before, but they got it that day. And I've rare had that type of anointing on me in the presence of lost people. Rarely. I've preached funerals. I've preached funerals for people that were involved in drugs that burn up in drug houses. I've preached to what looked like I was preaching to the mafia. Everybody there had sunglasses on. You know what I told them? How rotten, wicked, low down I was, and how God saved me out of it. And I've seen tears. I've seen them pull the sunglasses back and wipe tears out of their eyes. That's all I know to do. There's the man that makes the worthy, who makes a worthy watchman, but then there's the message. The Bible says, and look in verse number 17, Son of man, made thee a watchman to the house of Israel, therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning, look at the phrase, from me. So we are to warn men from God. In other words, he gives the warning. He's the one that's saying, don't come into my presence with dirty, sinful garments on. It's not allowed. Don't do it. Tell people that they've got to be cleansed, they've got to be white, they've got to have the blood applied, or they're not allowed in my presence. It has to be. I used to play a song, I haven't heard it in a long time, on the radio. And there's a song, and it starts out that there's a U.S. naval destroyer off the coast, I'll say North Carolina, in heavy fog, and there's a voice comes on and says, destroyer, adjust your course. And he comes back and he said, negative. He said, I'm a U.S. naval destroyer. And he comes back and he said, adjust your course. Change your course heading. And he comes back and he said, no, I'm a captain of a U.S. naval destroyer, United States Navy. You adjust your course. And the fellow comes back and said, I'm a seaman second class. You adjust your course. And finally, the captain of the ship comes back and he is just as mad as he can be. And he said, adjust your course. I'm a naval destroyer. Adjust your course. And the fellow comes back and says, I'm the lighthouse. You're heading for the shore. You're fixing to make shipwreck. Adjust your course, sir. With all due respect, adjust your course. So God has set forth the Word of God. God has set forth the church as the lighthouse, saying there's a rocky shoal and you're heading for it. You're heading for doom and destruction to warn men from the Lord. But the Bible says to warn men for the Lord. He says, if he shall die, in verse 20, because thou hast not given him warning. And then he goes on down in verse 21, he shall surely live because he is warned. I want you to understand, to warn men from God, but to warn men for God on his behalf. He's the one that set up the plan of salvation. And somebody said, but God, the loving God, would never send anybody to hell. I want you to understand, man sent himself to hell. And it's God, the one who's made a way of redemption. He's the one he's the one that made the path. He's the one that sent his son. He's gone to every effort to keep man out of hell. And man spurns it. And so he is the one who's providing the warning. He's the one that is providing the way of escape. And then what is the message? Well, the message of the worthy watchman is to warn men from God, to warn men for God, but ultimately to win men to God. Do you realize that on planet Earth, there are 183,671 people die every day. Every day, worldwide. That means that in this hour that we've been in church since 11 o'clock, there have been 7,653 people go out into eternity. And that happens every single hour. Do you realize that every 60 seconds, there's an average of 128 people die all over the world? They're dying at the rate of over 2 per second. Every time, if I could get my fingers to snap, they won't, because of arthritis, they won't snap anymore. But if I could get my fingers to snap, every time I snap my fingers, two more's gone. Two more's gone. So what's the motive, preacher? What's the message? To win men to the Lord. So there's the man who makes the worthy watchman. There's the message of the worthy watchman. But then let's look at the motive for a moment, if we can. Take your Bible and flip over to chapter 33. I like the way that it reads in chapter 33, verse number 8. He says, "When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die." He says, "If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand." At thine hand. Did you understand that we need to get the blood off our hands? The blood off our hands. I'm sad to tell you that I've got blood on my hands. You ever kill anybody, preacher? No, but I've thought about it. But I have failed to warn some folks that I know God told me to. I know the little girl's in heaven. But I was down in the edge of the jungle, and we were preaching a tent meeting. And I didn't have an interpreter, and I went up, and there's a little girl sitting over here on one of the benches. And she's so sick, her nose is swelled. I can't even see her eye. There is a place on the side of her head that's bulged out like as big as a navel orange. From the top of her lip, everything's all swollen together, and it's bright red. And she's so sick, she's just leaning up against her little sister. So this little girl's 3 or 4 years old. The girl that's keeping her, her little sister, she's 5 or 6. And she brought her to the meeting, and she's sitting there leaning on her sister. She is so sick. It was an abscess. And their little teeth rot out, and it gets up into the sinus, and it's a sinus abscess. But the problem is that abscess eats right into the brain, and it's deadly. $5 worth of penicillin. Pull that rotten tooth, get it to drain. $5 worth of penicillin, I could have saved a little girl's life. But in my not being as naive as I was, I said to them in English, "You stay right here. We've got to get her to the doctor. Don't go away. I'm going to get the missionary. I'll be right back." They did not understand anything I said except one word, doctor. It's the same in Spanish or in English. The problem is the doctor they knew was the witch doctor. And that's what they were familiar with. And they were scared of him. He was evil. And they were scared of the witch doctor. And when you go to the doctor, people die. And of course, usually they were so sick when they went, but people die. If you go to the witch doctor, you die. That's all she got from me. I run, got the missionary, and run back over, and they're gone. I went through the streets of Plantrace Mill, was the community. I went through the streets knocking on doors with an interpreter saying, "There's a little girl, got this, have you seen her?" "No, no, no." Well, you know that they had seen her. She was probably inside one of those houses. But I couldn't find her. And they weren't about to tell this white guy, this American, that's knocking on their door. They weren't about, and they just live in little shanties. They weren't about to tell me, "Oh yeah, she's in here. And yeah, get my daughter and take her off to some hospital." You know, and they wasn't about to do that. And there's no doubt that little girl died because in my innocence, I didn't. Say, "Is the blood on your hands?" Well, I was trying But she probably died within a couple of days of that if she didn't get treatment. But on the other hand, there was a man that I knew. Didn't know him well, but I knew him. And I found out that he's in the hospital in bad shape at Otene. And I said, I'll go after church. It's cold. After church, I said, well, I'll go over tonight. I'll go tonight after church. We came in. It was so cold. It was a terrible night. I had an old diesel Audi that wouldn't crank. I said, well, it won't crank, and I can't get to roll off over at Otene. I'll go in the morning. Well, the next morning, I woke up early. I'm talking about early. I slept. I might as well have went because I didn't sleep any that night. I wallowed my pillow. I fought it. Finally, about 5 o'clock, I got up. I said, I'm going. I got that old thing fired up, got it to crank, filled the valley with smoke. I took off to Otene. I go over there, and there's one door open. I walk through that door. There's a woman sitting there. And it was, again, 5 o'clock, about, you know, before 6 o'clock in the morning. And I walked in. I said, I'm here to see so-and-so. And she looked at me so funny. And she said, who are you? You family? I said, no. I'm a preacher, and I want to talk to him. I've had a rough night. He's been on my mind all night. I need to talk to him. And she said, just a moment. She went in the back. In the moment, here come another woman, an older woman. And she said, who are you here to see? And I told her. And she said, he expired during the night. I'd never heard that term used about a human being. I've had milk that expired. I've had my license to expire. I've had tags that expired, but I have never had anybody tell me that a human expired. And I said, what are you trying to say? And she said, sir, he died during the night. I've never felt so hollow. I've never felt so hopeless in my life. I attended his funeral. He was a veteran. I stood way back when they presented the flag. His son just wadded that flag up in his hand. They'd folded it and presented it to him. His son just kind of pulled on it. They just wadded it up. He was just weeping. I didn't realize that there was a bugler behind me, a trumpet. And they started playing taps. And it was as if there was a hole in me about that big around. The wind was blowing and that thing went, dun, 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 vibrato. Dun, dun, dun. And I could feel it coming through me. It's like the wind was blowing through my heart. It was like the wind was blowing through my soul. And it was like the fingers of hell was reaching up out of that grave to get him. I'm sorry to say, I've got blood on my hands. Somebody said, preacher, you don't know if he'd have got saved or not. Don't matter. I had another situation. Man was in a coma. God said, go. Middle of the night, God said, go. I went and couldn't get in the hospital. Couldn't find an open door. I finally found one. I pried it open with my hands, one of those ones that slide together. I pried it open, and I went in back before the days of cameras and burglar alarms. And so I went in the hospital. And I had on a brand new blue striped pinstripe suit, and that little old latch that hooks it together caught the back of my suit and tore the whole back out of my suit. So I've rumped my suit, get up there, walk in, and the woman says, who are you? What are you doing here? In intensive care. And I said, I came to see so-and-so. I said, well, he's in a coma. I said, ma'am, I don't know. God woke me, told me get over here. All I know is this is what God told me to do, and I'm just trying to mind God. Would you mind if I prayed with him? She said, well, he's in a coma. I said, can I kneel in the floor beside him and pray? She said, yeah, you can do that. Well, when, sure enough, he's all hooked up to stuff, and he's dead away. I thought, Lord, I done tore my suit. And here I am, come all this way, and here's a man in a coma. Lord, why am I here? I knelt on the floor and I said, Lord, I'm just trying to be obedient. I don't know what I don't know. Lord, but save this man, if it be your will. And it is his will to save. And I stood up and he said, Randy, what are you doing here? I said, I come to tell you that you're lost and you're going to hell without Christ. He said, where am I? And I told him, at Park Ridge. I said, how long have I been here? I said, about a week. He said, how'd I get here? I said, you collapsed on the street of Hendersonville. And I witnessed to that man. And I shared the straight up gospel with him, as straight as I've ever shared it with anybody. And he said, no, not today. He said, I'm getting out of here. He said, I'm feeling pretty good. He said, I'm getting out of this place. And I said, please, please, please. God didn't wake me in the middle of the night and bring me over here for you to say no. You need to be saved tonight. And he said, not tonight. Not tonight. They said when he died, he was calling my name, wanting to come get me, wanting to see me. I was in a bookstore in Asheville. I come in and timed to find he's dead. I went straight as I could walk. That's when pagers first come out. I went as straight as I could walk and got me a pager. And I've had a pager or a cell phone on me every day of my life since. My point is, my hands clean of that last night illustration I gave you, but my hands are dirty of that first one. We're to get the blood off of our hands. But more than that, we're to get the blood on their heads. The Bible says in Ezekiel 33, verse 4, his blood shall be upon his own head. But more than that, the challenge is that we are to get the blood on their hearts. The scripture says, he that heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Hallelujah. And so we're not only just to get the blood off of our hands, we're to get the blood on their head, put it on them, put the responsibility on them, but ultimately to get the blood on their hearts. That's our ultimate goal. By the grace of God, may we be worthy watchmen. May we be the man, the woman, the boy or girl who makes a motive watchman. May we carry the message of a worthy watchman, not a message about religion or about baptism or any of those things, but about salvation, full and free, through Christ and Christ alone. And then may we be motivated as a worthy watchman to get the blood off of our hands, onto their heads, but ultimately onto their hearts. The most important thing I could tell you, the most important thing I could set, the most important theme that I could preach, this is Missions Month. But you need to understand, Missions Month's not going over there and making them Americans. Missions is not about going and improving their lifestyle or improving their living conditions. All that often happens. Missions is about winning souls to Christ. But missions starts here at the house. Winning our neighbors, our friends, our families, our people we work with, and seeing them saved by the grace of God. May God help us to be worthy watchmen in the coming year. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today for the Anchor Baptist broadcast with our pastor, Dr. Randy C. Barton. Our services are Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:45, worship at 11, Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and midweek service Wednesday night at 7. Services are also streamed live via Anchor Baptist Facebook page and online at anchorbaptist.org. Anchor Baptist Church is located at 3232 Hendersonville Highway in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. May the Lord richly bless you, and we look forward to meeting with you again soon.